Okay, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online today to our Bible study this morning at Waldo Baptist Church. Let everybody get settled. A little damp outside and cool, but we're blessed to miss a lot of the bad storms and very grateful for that. Pray those that are watching online were safe as well. We're in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we come before you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you that you are an almighty God from everlasting to everlasting. You're truly the same. Thanking you that you're unchanging, that your faithfulness, your mercy, your grace is always real and available. Thanking you for calling us out of darkness into light. Thanking you for the grace that holds us, keeps us, saves us. Thanking you for the blessings of life, teaching us by your Holy Spirit, because of who you are and because of the mighty things that you have done. I pray out your blessings might be poured graciously, that he might be able to sell his farm and find a place to live. I pray for all of our church family on our prayer list that has had surgery, that you might heal them from their surgeries. For those that need surgeries, that you might bless, that might come to, for their salvation. We thank you for everyone that's here today and for the blessings of life that you give us each and every day. Today we pray you'd open up our hearts and minds to your word, that we might not only see and hear, but we might be able to hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin again. May we be faithful servants, vessels found worthy of your love and grace, and understanding. And Lord, may you be glorified through everything that's done as we open your word and see the Lord Jesus Christ. And through his shed blood we pray. Amen. I'm going to Christian privilege, actually beginning in the fourth verse. Everything before that in chapter our responsibilities as a Christian is talking a lot about what it costs to follow Christ. But what we're seeing now is a changeover as we're looking at from Christ. And that, the key verse to all of that is in verse 4, and it's good. Has been because of Christ, and it's been because I've come to him, because I came to Christ. And I can't say I came to Christ because he called me to himself by his grace out of darkness. And so we're looking at the privilege, the benefits, the dividends, how it pays to know Christ. That's what we're really looking at now. And we have been for several sessions. The privilege of knowing Christ. And the key verse to all of this, of course, is verse 4, as you come to him. Now I'm going to give you these 10 points or privileges, and that way you'll know if you've got them all. We haven't got to all of them yet, but I'm going to go ahead and give them all 10 to you so you know that you have them and have them in the order that we've been going through them. The first one that we found, is that union with Christ. And it said, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. So the first thing that we saw was we are in union with Christ as a living stone. We are now living stones. He is the life-giving stone. He is the cornerstone. He is the foundation for everything in the Christian life, in the kingdom of God, by the grace of God, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So coming to him, he is the cornerstone. We have union with him as living stones in Christ Jesus. The second one is access to Christ. We have access to Christ. He said, and you are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are a holy priesthood. And if you look on over in in verse 9 as well, you'll see you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. So we are a holy and a royal priesthood in Christ. What does that mean? That means in the priesthood of the believer, we have 24/7 access to God the Father through our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have access. This is a tremendous privilege that we have. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on in your life, you have access to the throne of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know of anything that's worth more than that. And so that was the next privilege that we looked at. That was number two. The next privilege that we looked at, number three, he says that we have security in Christ. Notice what it says. It says, verse 6, for in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Never be put to shame, never be disappointed, never be let down, never see something that God has promised that is not even more glorious than you thought it would be. I guarantee you, when you see heaven open and Jesus descending and we are ascending, whether it is after we've passed away and our spirit and soul's gone to be in the presence of the Lord, when you see the glories of heaven, you will not be disappointed. But I can say to you today that in my life as a Christian, has God always done everything I wanted him to do? Thank God, no. I'm glad he hasn't. But he has always done more than I could deserve, earn, merit, or expect. And so I have never been disappointed in Christ, and I never will be. And so that was the third one. I have eternal security in Christ and all the promises he's made to me. All right, now the fourth one that we see is I have affection or love for Christ. I have election or love for Christ. He says, now to you who believe, this stone is what? Precious. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. The first thing that I noticed in my life, the moment I was regenerated and my sins were forgiven, where there was a love in my heart immediately that I'd never had before in all my life. And that love was for two things. It was for the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God's people. It's something that emerged immediately in my life through salvation. It is one of the greatest privileges any human being can ever have, is to have God put his own love in you for himself. And it is natural as breathing. The love that you have, suddenly Christ, the Son of God, became the most precious thing in your life through the salvation that you were granted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and will always be precious in your sight. So the fourth thing was affection or love for Christ. That was the fourth privilege that we see. Now the fifth that we see. He says, now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a what? A chosen people. You are a chosen people. The fifth privilege that you have is you were chosen or elected of God. You were chosen or elected of God. They mean the same thing. When it says you were chosen before the foundation of the earth, it means you were elected before the foundation of the earth. And I can give you scriptures throughout Old and New Testament concerning that. that there is absolutely no doubt that in God's plan, in God's wisdom, in God's purpose, He chose you to belong to Him before the earth was ever even created. As He chose His own Son to be the sacrifice for your sins and mine, the Son of God, to go to Calvary, die on a cross, raised from the dead on the third day, just giving us justification through His resurrection, God chose all this and laid all this before the foundation of the earth ever existed. And so that was the next thing that we saw, is election from God. By the way, if you've got a question about any of these, stop me and ask a question, okay? Because I've always said this, there are no dumb questions. The dumb thing to do is have a question, not ask it. There are no dumb questions, okay? We all learn together. That's how we do. And so if you have a question, get my attention, let me know, and we'll answer it for you, or try to answer it for you the best way we can. We okay so far? Everybody understand where we are so far? Okay. All right. Now then, we go to a new one today. And that is the sixth one that we see. And that is this. He says, but you are chosen people. And now notice what you've already found out you're a priesthood. Now what does he say? You are a royal priesthood. Is there a different translation word than royal? Well, we had holy back over here. You're holy. But now he gives you the designation that you are a royal priesthood. Now, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to me that I'm not only a holy? And when I say that I'm a holy priesthood, that does not mean I'm sinless. You understand that? That means I have been declared sinless in justification by the grace of God. I am still a sinner saved by grace. Thank God I'm not what I'm used to be, but I'm not yet what I'm going to be through sanctification and glorification one day by the work of God. So when I say that we are a holy priesthood, it means we are a people that have been set apart, and we are holy unto God, and we have been totally justified of our sins before an almighty God, even though we didn't deserve it, even though we could not earn it, even though we are still sinners. We are now declared justified, holy, according to Romans chapter 3, in the Word of God. And so that's what we're talking about. But now he adds a different determination. He says, not only are you a holy priesthood, you are a royal priesthood. Now then, I want to pause right there because we've caught up and we've got to a new one here. And if you need, let me throw out some scriptures to you on your security in election and how you were chosen.
I got a question.
Okay, ask your question.
You said you were given a six. What was it that I missed?
Six is the one we're getting ready to start.
Okay, so you haven't told us what it was.
No.
You said a royal priesthood.
I said a royal priesthood, but that's not the privilege. I just said that he gives you a new terminology. So you got ahead of me, didn't you?
No, I just heard you say that. So everybody else.
I will give it to you. It is dominion. You have dominion with Christ, number six. Dominion. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures. Let's see, which one did I want to get? Yeah. here. See, that's the trouble when I don't follow my notes. I get so far ahead of myself, I don't know where I'm at. Kay says I don't know where I'm at most of the time anyway, so I don't guess it really matters. But okay, now then. I want to back up just a second on election. I want to, because what Peter does when he's talking to them, remember that he's writing to believers that are scattered all out five different areas or regions. He's writing to Christians that are scattered out through, and it, as you begin chapter 1, he told you the various regions he was writing to. So he's writing to Christians that are scattered out over various different regions. And he's writing to them, and they're going through really hard times. They're being persecuted. They're going through really hard times. And so he's wanting to do two things. He's wanting to comfort them, let them know, and we're going through all these privileges now that he's giving them so they can be comforted, they can know they're secure, they can know everything is all right. He's already told them their responsibilities, and now he's giving them these privileges as he's going through them. And now he's wanting them to understand that, and so what he's, every time he'll bring something up, a lot of time he'll go back and he's actually quoting something out of the Old Testament to what word do I want to use? To emphasize the truth in the New Testament. So you got a lot of Old Testament, he'll go back and he'll talk about that to emphasize what he's saying in the New Testament. And just like in Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn to these, I'm just going to give them to you. You want to write scripture down, you can. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, it says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand, redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord, he is God." Now this is Old Testament, talking about the nation of Israel, talking about calling them out. But what he's doing, he goes back. See this, as you know God better, you know that God never changes. God never changes. God chose a people in the Old Testament through his sovereign grace. He just chose. We just read about it right here. Now God has chosen a people in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, and in the New Covenant, by his sovereign grace. And so what Peter does, he says, look, this is what God did back here. You all know that. You all know that. Your forefathers taught you this. You know it. Well, this is the same God doing the same thing with you that he did then. He hasn't changed. He still works the same way. He's sovereign over all his creation. He has chosen you. Now he's doing this to them. They can go back, they can see what happened with Israel. They can see what he's saying to them now. And they can relate to that. They can say, oh, God has chosen us to be saved by his sovereign grace, just like he chose Israel to be a nation and brought them out of slavery in the Old Testament. You see, the thing is, in the Old Testament, everything is a symbol and a shadow and a figure of the truth in the New Testament. And that's why Peter does this quite a bit, and other writers in Scripture. Jesus himself, so many times, goes back, picks up the Old Testament, says, this is the way God works. This is the way God is working now. And so he ties it together when you see. Listen to this scripture, Isaiah 43:21. He says, the people whom I formed for myself. The people who I formed for myself. And so we see Old Testament, New Testament. We see this is God. He's absolutely sovereign over all his creation. His purpose, his plan, his will, and he has chosen, and now he is chosen. And there are those that say, well, and I'll just throw this in, there are those scholars and preachers today that say, well, the church replaced Israel. Not really. It didn't replace Israel, but God is working his plan through the church where Israel failed. Because Israel will one day be redeemed. So you can't say, well, now there's no more Israel. Because if you go back to the book of Romans and you say, well, has God rejected Israel? It says, God forbid. And so we studied through that in Romans. But you see that as God worked in Israel, formed a people for himself, in Israel in the Old Testament, the church in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, God is working the very same way. God doesn't change. He works the very same way. Now, why is he reminding them of this and telling them this? Because he's trying to comfort them. He's trying to get them to see that they cannot be lost. He's trying to get them to see that no matter how hard the persecution is, they're secure in Christ, that they're God's chosen people, and he's going through all these privileges that they have. And so this is what's going on as you study this. And you look at this. And so that's why he says here in verse 9, first of all, you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he said it over and over and over again. You are a chosen people. And so we see this here in the Scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament. God hasn't changed. Works the same way. Listen to this scripture. You can write it down if you want to. Look at it later. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 16. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You see there, I could quote you, I could give you probably 100 scriptures. And it's hard for me to understand how some people cannot accept this doctrine when it is so prevalent throughout Old and New Testament Scripture as who God is and what God does. It is very difficult to understand, I grant you that, but this is who God is, and this is what God does. And I can stand here and say, oh, I would have done it a different way. It really doesn't matter what I think. It really doesn't matter if I like it, I don't like it, I would have done it different, or anything else. It doesn't matter at all. This is who God is, this is what God does, and this is what God is doing. And you can't get around it in Scripture. I try to teach the hard things as well as the easy things. Because if you're going to know who God really is, You have to understand this. You have to understand this. Listen to this scripture, Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of God. Listen to this. As many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. As many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Here's one that's hard for us. Oh my gosh, is it hard for us. Oh. When I first became a Christian, I started, went to Bible college and I studied this and I thought, how do I handle this? This is what it says. This is what it says. Romans chapter 9 verse 13 is quoting Old Testament. And he says, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. What am I supposed to do that? That's what God said. And then it says, after that, what shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. What I am trying to get you to see is a clear picture of the sovereignty of God and the need of man for so great a salvation. It only comes by the grace of God through the sovereignty of God. And what I'm really... Y'all feel bad this morning? Well, you look like you do. I'm getting over this doggone sinus infection I've had for a week. I feel better than I have already. Get off your darn lazy butt and start worshiping God, because he's done something for you that you could have never done for yourself, and it would have never happened to you throughout the eternal ages unless God just did it. I mean, quit sitting there like a toad on a stool. When it comes time to worship, worship. Sing. Praise the Lord. If you want to lift your hands, lift your hands. I mean, what I'm telling you is the most glorious story and message on the face of the earth that could ever happen to any human being. And I want you to get a hold of it, because when you really get a hold of it, it'll change your life. You say, well, my life was changed. Well, it ain't been changed enough. You're going to have to take an apprenticeship course to learn how to worship when you get to heaven. Are you with me? Are you grasping what I'm trying to get you to grasp? Good. That makes me feel a little better. Did bell ring? First one. I got one more. Romans 11:5. In the same way, then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Well, how are you going to get around that? Just as he chose us in him, in who? In Christ. When? Before the foundation of the world. You say, you just make that up? No, that's scripture. I'm just reading you what God said. He predestined us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself. I'll give you another one, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Give you another one, 2 Timothy 1:9.
I can go on and on and on and on. But I ain't got time to go on and on and on and on. So tonight, Lord willing, I'm going to get through dominion. Okay? Tonight, I'm going to get through the privilege of dominion. Do you have any idea how unbelievably marvelous that is? Do you know what you lost in Eden? You lost dominion. You lost dominion over everything. You don't have dominion over anything. You get out in a dog's face when he starts eating and say, "Stop eating." He bites you on the nose. You don't have dominion over a dog. You get in a darn cage with a lion. Say, "Sit down." He'll eat you half up. You don't have dominion over it. You don't have dominion over it. You don't have dominion over your next 5 minutes. Do you realize what a thing it is to then have the privilege of reigning and having dominion over God's creation in Christ? That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. I want you to understand what a glorious thing God did for you when He saved you. And we're just getting through part of it. But I want you to be able to grasp how glorious that is. How awesome and magnificent that is. Beyond anything you could ever imagine. Or I could ever imagine. Okay, we'll pick it up right now. I'm going to hush. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come into your house and study your word. It humbles us. It strips us of all our pride. It wants us to fall on our knees, to actually fall on our face before a holy God and say, "Oh God, how could you do this for us? We are a worm, we're a wretch. We're not worthy of one drop of blood from the life of your Son. And yet you have saved us, you have called us, you have chosen us, you have blessed us, you have granted us eternal life. And one day we will reign with you throughout the ages of the ages of the ages. It is so overwhelming, I don't even know how to say thank you. But I can say I love you. And I always will. Because you, who did not have to care for me at all, first loved me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen."